Welcome to Unspoiled, covering Star Wars, Episode 6, Return of the Jedi. In this episode, I'm afraid the shield generator will be quite operational when we cover this film. Welcome to Unspoiled.
That you did for me.
Yeah, I know. I forgot the end part. Sorry. But if you guys can't tell, I love the Emperor.
Apparently.
And that's why I enjoy this movie. Hello, I am Owen, and I am the resident Star Wars fan.
I am Natasha, and I am not a Star Wars fan. I don't want to, like, I like the movies. I just don't want to call myself a fan yet.
That's fair.
I would like to apologize in case the sound on this is weird. I've been having an issue all weekend with GarageBand, and I can record, but I cannot play back what I have recorded. So if there is some weird shit going on with the sound, I have tried to fix it, but I am very sorry if this shit sounds weird. Hopefully it sounds normal.
Yeah, it was really, because we watched the movie last night,
mm-hmm.
and we were both really psyched
mm-hmm.
to record. Like, we were both in a really great mood, and a lot of times, you know, I hate to peek behind the curtain here, but sometimes one of us may or not, you know.
Yeah.
But we were both super pumped to record. And yeah, nothing but problems. Like, I did a test, and you said that the sound was super low. And so you restarted your computer, and then there was no sound.
Yeah. It was like an hour and a half of me trying everything. And I just wound up in tears by the end. Like, because we can record him and I together in the same room, but I don't know what I'm going to do for Sandman, so...
We think we can do that.
Yeah,
we're
looks
not
like
sure.
We can.
Right now, on your monitor, it is showing, like, the sound levels going up and down, but when we press play on playback, we can't hear anything coming through your monitors, so we may... There is a small chance that you guys are hearing none of this.
That's not, like, very likely, because I mailed you the...
Yeah, we've done some tests, but it just makes us a little nervous, but, hey, if something messes up, like... We'll be fine. Like, I can talk about Star Wars for hours. I can force you to talk about Star Wars for hours. Like, we'll be just fine. So, even if this winds up being a lost episode, which it won't. No way it's happening. But we'll be fine. So,
okay.
Shall we get into it?
Let's do it.
Okay. Did you like this one?
I did like this one.
Okay.
Did
you know that this one is often maligned as far
as
original trilogy?
Yeah. That this is considered, like, the worst one? I guess, pretty much.
Do you see where that's coming from?
I do, and I don't. There are things that I understand are problematic. It does sort of feel like they're doing the same four things for an hour, which kind of got boring for me in the middle. But overall, I don't know. It's hard to say whether or not I didn't fall asleep during this one or want to fall asleep because we just we watched it earlier,
yeah.
Or if it was just that I was more engaged because of the matter or what, you know?
Yeah. For me, it helped, like, I came home and I had a very bad day, and that's kind of why we watched it and
mm-hmm.
did it now. And this is a very, for me at least, this is a very good bad day movie.
Mm.
I think this one is, like, the most lighthearted of all of them. It's the most kind of silly.
Mm-hmm.
And it really picked up my spirit. Like, I was in a terrible mood when I got
it
home.
Picked up your spirits, and then mine were dashed.
Yeah, and then we had a terrible, like, 2 hours before bed.
Yeah.
But, I love this movie, despite... And it is the most flawed of the original trilogy. I won't even say it's the worst. Of all the movies, it's probably the one I put on the most.
Okay.
Because it's, like, great, like, background, just, like, silly, good shit happens, and then you can kind of, you know, keep on, like, folding laundry or whatever. And it's kind of like, you can't quite compare the original trilogy to Indiana Jones.
Right.
Because for Indiana Jones, the middle one kind of sucks. And this one, you know, the middle one, I think is the best one. But I think you can compare Raiders to Star Wars in that, like... it's probably a better movie than the third installment, but the third installment is, like, more fun.
Okay, I got you. Yeah, I think that was what it was. But this one felt more fun to me.
Yeah, this is... it's got some problems, and we'll get into that.
Mm.
But this is a very fun movie, and it's got some really great bits. Like, people will act like this movie is as bad as the prequels. And
oh,
that's,
well,
that is
definitely not true.
That's horseshit.
I mean, at least from the one prequel I saw, but yeah.
The Star Wars Minute guys, when they almost didn't record Jedi because they don't really like it that much. And one of the guys was saying that he thinks that... One of them thought that Phantom Menace is better than Jedi. And one of them... That's the first episode one.
Okay.
One of them thought episode 3 was better.
Okay.
Now, no one was saying that shitty one that you saw
was
better.
I was going to say, episode 2 is the one I saw, so nobody cares about that, so that's fine.
But I think they're... And once they actually watched the movie and covered it, they kind of backtracked on that a little. But I think this is a really fun movie. And it does kind of feel out of place, even. But...
I wouldn't say that. I just feel like... Well, we'll get into it. Let's start.
Okay. I've taken a couple of notes here. And
in his Star Wars notebook.
In my Star Wars notebook that you bought me. So you like it? I put down my first note is likey or Nike.
Ew.
as far as controversies go, I've got just a couple of them on here. And this is the first one we talked about because last night, you know, the biggest bummer about last night's problems was I really wanted to talk about Jedi with you and I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So I couldn't help but ask. I asked you last night, are you pro or anti Ewok? Because there are a lot of people who hate Ewoks.
Yeah, that's, I think, part of my problem with the middle of the movie. It was like, the Ewoks are obviously adorable. I appreciate that they don't feel racist. I mean...
Sometimes they feel a little racist.
There's definitely a tribal thing going on, but it doesn't feel like it's like a really gross sort of parody.
It helps that they're so anti-human
yeah.
that you can't really make those connections.
But I did feel like there was a lot more comic relief with them than there needed to be. And I felt like they played that over and over again instead of getting to the point necessarily. Or just, it was also like a Deus Ex Machina thing where they like swooped in and saved the day at the last second. Which, fine, I guess. But it just doesn't feel like the other movies in that. The other ones, it felt like the team working together is what got them through it. And this was an outside force that we happened to befriend got us through it, which is technically the team working together, but it's not the original team, and it just feels very convenient. So I just have a problem with that. They are cute. I heard that they were, like, created so that they had some, like, merchandise to sell that would appeal to kids,
mm-hmm.
is what I had heard.
Well, here's the thing. This is what I have heard, and... Of course, as with any of, like, behind-the-scenes stuff, controversies with Star Wars,
mm-hmm.
there's always a narrative and a counter-narrative, and, you know,
yeah.
George Lucas meant to do this, but he really did that. You know, it's all contested. But what I have heard is that originally it was going to be Wookiees.
Oh, that would have been way cooler.
Yeah, because, like, that's why the Death Star is being built there. It's being built by the Wookiee home planet,
mm-hmm.
and the Wookiees are being used as slaves to help build the Death Star.
Oh.
And it was going to be, you know, all this Wookiee and an army of Wookiees. And, like, you still get... What Lucas always says he was trying to do here is have this this theme of the primitive underdog overtaking the technologically superior empire.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a really good and cool message. But the problem with Ewoks is they're so cutesy and they're so bumbling.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they're, like... They're like little kids in
outfits.
It
doesn't feel like the primitive people overcoming. It feels like accidental.
Yeah.
You know, it just feels circumstantial instead of them actually, like, getting their shit together.
Mm-hmm.
They just went in bananas and happened to win. It was, like, a complete coincidence.
One of the funniest things in this movie is that the Emperor, when he's all smug on the Death Star, he's saying, "Yes, this is all a trap. I have sent my most crack troops down to the planet to deal with the rebels." And then they're getting hit by rocks and falling
yeah.
over and slipping on banana peels.
Yeah.
And, like, these got, like, you can't take the Ewoks seriously as a threat.
Yeah.
It completely undermines the Empire as, like, I know the Stormtroopers are always getting their asses kicked and they can't shoot. And, like, it's always, they've already kind of been a joke. But in this, they just take it up to 11 with that.
I wish that if they were going to have the Ewoks be really cute, that as a surprise, when it came to battle time, that they had, like, horrifying claws and fangs or something that made them, like, really scary out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I think that would have been a cool touch to,
Some of the Ewoks, not Wicket, that's the main Ewok that Leia meets. That's,
mm-hmm.
like, the really cute Ewok that's played by Warwick Davis
mm-hmm.
as a small child who apparently, like, this was, like, his first thing.
Okay.
And, like, it was apparently an amazing experience for him, which is awesome. Like, I like Warwick Davis, don't get me wrong, but, like, some of the Ewoks are creepy looking.
Oh, definitely.
And I feel like this is something that could have been benefited from the technology being a little better.
I feel like it is just the way they were handled. I don't feel like it's the technology's fault.
Fair enough. I mean, I was actually a little surprised watching this, because we were watching it, and I just said that I put this on the most of all the Star Wars movies, but
mm-hmm.
I also said I haven't sat down and watched it in years.
Mm-hmm.
It's always, like, a background thing, or, like, I'll be doing dishes, and I'll kind of come back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's been a while since I've watched it. They're more capable than I remember them being. Like, I didn't remember them having bows and arrows.
Okay.
Like, that's fine. And, like,
slings.
Yeah, like, they put... there's a couple of small moments in here where they kind of seem like they're putting up some kind of a fight. Like,
yeah.
I like that they infiltrate the walker.
Oh, that's right. You didn't remember that part you said.
Yeah, I didn't remember that at
it.
All. And I thought that was fine. And I like them as, like, a distraction when they steal the speeder bikes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a...
That
is a goofy-ass moment that I think works.
Definitely works.
Yeah,
I think that, like, them being, like, the distraction versus being the warriors... Definitely is more believable.
Yeah. So I think we've pretty well covered tone in this movie as far as controversies, because that was the next on my list. Another controversy in this, and this is something that I very much see now that it's been pointed out to me, I don't think this movie looks as good. Especially doesn't look as good as Empire. Like, the lighting is kind of cheap in places.
I can't say that I noticed that.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. It didn't really bother me.
And this is a thing where I feel like if you're, like, a super macro fan and you're looking at every little thing and, like, overanalyzing it, that's
mm-hmm.
something that I think that, you know, isn't as noticeable. But, like, I definitely see it now that it's been pointed out. Like, the lighting is not as good. Like, camera angles and shit like that. Just, it seems a little flat to me.
Okay. All right. So do you want to do, like, the character by character thing?
I had just a couple more controversies.
Okay.
Here. One more small one, which is the Death Star as the big bad thing. Some people think that's cheap. I love it.
Why do you love it?
First of all, the Death Star is kind of the big bad, you know, end all be all. We got to stop it.
Right.
Of the first movie, and I think that is undermined in this. But I like that. You know, anytime you watch, like, a James Bond movie or something where there's this big. You know, technological terror that we have to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, and it's all hinged on blowing it up, getting rid of it.
Right.
I like the idea that, yeah, you blew it up, but, like, the evil empire that has unlimited resources, they still have the blueprints.
Right. Okay.
They can rebuild it. Like, I like that. And I also love the visual. I don't like the visual of the original Death Star. It's too plain. It's just a big circle in space. I love the half-finished, you know, only partially constructed look of the Death Star. And I'm never super big on space battles in these movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think they're cool. And I actually think the one in this one at least looks very great.
I liked this. Yeah, this. I preferred it to the ground battle on the moon for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah.
One of the things I don't like about the ending of Star Wars is... you know, it all hinges on this big battle in space.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not into those that much.
Okay.
Whereas in this one, it's just a piece. You get little bits of it. You get Lando, you know, flying it around with his own personal new Chewbacca. And it's just little bits, and it looks great, but you don't have to focus on it the whole time. So I like that as a, like, secondary threat.
I also really like the fact that they have... Han say, I had a funny feeling like I'm not going to see her again about his ship,
mm-hmm.
to really add this level of tension to the whole Enterprise where you would feel like they would be totally safe because of who they are and the ship that they're in. Even though they wind up being fine, it adds this layer to it of you think that they're not going to be. You think that everything's going to go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like, spoiler alert for Age of Ultron, but them trying to set up that... Hawkeye is going to get killed. And you just keep waiting for it and waiting for it, so then what actually happens just comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I liked that they used that tactic.
Spoiler alert for a movie that never happened, but originally they weren't going to make it back. Lando was going to die.
Oh, okay. Why did they change it, do you know?
Because Lando's awesome. Like, really, part of the biggest complaint about this overall, this movie, is the tone.
Mm-hmm.
It's lighter in this.
Yeah.
And I feel like George Lucas definitely pulled some punches that maybe, you know, for the sake of a better story,
might have been wiser to
It would have been better if Lando had this great sacrifice. Like, I probably would love Lando more, you know? But on the other hand, I'm glad he's not dead, and I'm glad the Falcon didn't get blown up.
Yeah.
But yeah, initially that was going to happen. Like, he wasn't going to make it back, and the Falcon was going to get blown up in the space battle somehow.
Next controversy.
My last controversy, and this is the big one for me, and I think you know this, it's the Luke and Leia thing.
Oh, right.
It's bad. Like, I was thinking through this, you know, I've always thought that Leia is bad in Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
And watching this, I was like, she's not bad in Jedi. She's got good bits. But I think of that scene where Luke and Leia are on that balcony and talking about how they're siblings.
Mm.
It's bad.
I think Luke is bad.
I think they're both bad.
Honestly, like, she doesn't have as much screen time, so I feel like her not being as good didn't bother me.
Mm-hmm.
But what's the name of the actor for Luke?
Mark Hamill.
Mark Hamill. I feel like it was really hard for me to watch him, I have to be honest.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah, I really do not think he was very good.
That scene or in the movie?
In the movie.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll talk about that in a little bit.
I just, like, from the start, when he shows up, I just couldn't really take him seriously,
mm-hmm.
and the scene with Leia, it was, like, so stilted and awkward and weird with, like, yes, it's you, Leia. I'm like, Jesus, what is this? Like, it was so unnatural compared to some of the dialogue that they normally have that feels fine.
I think there's the two kind of Leia is Luke's sister scenes. There's the scene in Dagobah
mm-hmm.
where, like, he finds out from Yoda and then he talks to Obi-Wan. I think
mm-hmm.
that's bad. And, you know, I love Alec Guinness. I like that he's in these movies and that he shows, but that's an awful scene.
He doesn't give any shits.
And then the scene with Leia, I think, is the single worst scene in the original trilogy.
I think that's very fair.
It's so bad. And there's,
just,
like, talking about his mother.
Wrong.
And it should be a very emotional scene. It's just terrible. I think Mark Hamill is bad in that scene. I think Carrie Fisher's worse. And Han shows up at the end, and he kind of adds a little something to it, but even that's pretty, it's not good.
The thing is, like you said about tone, is that it should be an emotional scene, but this movie doesn't feel like it suits that kind of scene. If they had been more serious with everything else, then I feel like they could have gone there, and it wouldn't have felt out of place.
Mm-hmm.
But here, honestly, if they had gotten really emotional, it's sort of the same thing as, like, in the original, that they blow up her planet, and it just doesn't feel like that huge a thing,
mm-hmm.
you know? And here's, like, she finds out she has this long-lost brother, and her father is the Dark Lord of, you know, whatever.
And
she's
like,
just like,
oh,
well,
yeah, I always knew that.
Yeah.
Like, that's bullshit.
Yeah, I just don't, like, whatever.
And here's the thing. What does it add, really, at the end of the day?
That's kind of the thing for me, is, like, I didn't realize how inconsequential that reveal was going to wind up being. I thought that there would be something that, like, linked the two of them so that the power of both of them working together and, like, sharing blood would make their power stronger. She doesn't play any role.
Yeah.
Like, in the grand finale of killing Vader, or not really killing him, but, you know.
Redeeming him or anything.
Yeah. I just felt like, why are you going to have her be his sister and then have her absolutely irrelevant to that whole storyline in the end? It didn't make any sense to me.
Here's the only thing that comes of it. There's that scene where Luke is kind of hiding from Vader while
mm-hmm.
they're having the duel. And he like, telepathies out of his mind
mm-hmm.
that he's got a sister. And he, like, taunts him with it.
Yeah.
But, like, really? That's it?
Taunting him with it, and you're not... That's not, like, a Chekhov's gun that's going to come up later, because Vader is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And the only other dude that maybe would have been around to even hear that didn't, and is also dead. So, it just feels like...
Oh, I didn't feel like it was a Chekhov's gun, but I feel like that is what flips his switch to him, like, attacking Vader full on and almost killing him.
I guess.
But, I mean, like I said, it's flimsy. Like,
yeah.
They could have taunted him with something else.
It just seems kind of shitty to be like, well, now I know she's my sister, so I care more.
Yeah.
You know, like, I feel like he really would have gotten angry anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
I mean, I feel like it's the thing with Vader being his father.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that relationship is done pretty well.
Yeah.
Like, even in this movie, it's not... I don't think it's done great, but it's done okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's done great in Empire. You know, that reveal and everything.
Yeah.
To where it's not a coincidence. What's the word? Contrivance.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But it's like one step removed from what has already been established,
mm-hmm.
and it's a twist that is done well. Whereas this, it is the laziest thing. Why? Okay, in Empire, there's that scene where Obi-Wan and Yoda are talking.
Mm-hmm.
They say, that boy's our last hope. And Yoda says, no, there is another. Like, that's the only reason that even comes
yeah.
up. Like, who's going to be his secret sibling? Who's going to be his long-lost sister? Well, I guess it's got to be Leia, because there's only six other women in the entire Star Wars universe.
I just don't... I feel, like, bummed out, because when we are revealed that he has a sister, and that she has the Force, and he says, like, no, you have it too, you could be as strong with it as me, I really expected, like, oh, she's actually going to... Because she's tough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's, like... one of the only females on the screen ever, but she actually participates fully all the time when she can. So I was like, oh, sweet, she's going to do, and then that doesn't go anywhere. So I just felt really let down by that, honestly.
Yeah, it would have been lame no matter what, I
mm-hmm.
feel like. But they could have done a little more with it and made it salvageable. I have heard that initially, like, George Lucas, of course, will say that he had the whole thing planned out the whole time and knew
mm-hmm.
what he was going to do, but... I mean, you can watch these movies and you know that's not true. It was going to be just some random other lady in the other corner of the galaxy. I don't know that that's better.
I don't know why he needs to have a sister at all. Like,
he doesn't. We saw the movie.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Like, I think if I was doing the Owen Woody official cut of the Star Wars movies, like, I'd take out that scene with Jabba and Han in A New Hope and... like, there's things that I would take out, but I would take out the whole subplot, because it goes nowhere.
I also, like, I mean, I know they're coming out with, The Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm.
If maybe they're going to do something with Leia in that, and make her somebody more, and if they do that, then I'll feel like, okay, this sucked at the time for 20 years or whatever, but now you've done something creative with it, and you've sort of saved it.
Mm-hmm.
But if they just kind of don't, then I'm just going to call bullshit on it forever.
Yeah, like,
when he gets the reveal on Dagobah, it just was like...
That's bad.
It was so bad, like, it's Leia, oh, you felt it, or whatever it was.
Yeah.
That like, there's no suspense to it, there's no sudden, like, I'm finding this out. It felt like they pulled it out of his ass, and then they were like, well, he just knew it in his heart all along. Oh, really? She kissed him, and he never noticed then? Hey, that's my sister... It's just when he's sitting next to the ghost of his old master that he suddenly realizes, like, it just didn't make any sense to me. And the fact that he didn't seem even that shocked or anything by it just rang untrue.
But I think we've talked about it enough.
Yeah.
So we got the character by character.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the most important character in this movie, in all caps, in my notes, is Lando. I love Lando. I like him in this movie, even though, like, I don't feel like he's nearly as charismatic in this, but I love this
Yeah,
movie.
I'm like, what do we even talk about with him? Because I don't feel that much happened with him in this movie.
I like that he becomes a general for no reason.
Yeah.
They're just like, I guess they heard about my maneuvers in the Battle of T'Nab. And he's got a new cape.
Yes.
And he's got his own Chewie. He's got his own co-pilot who doesn't speak English.
Yeah.
Nine Numb is that character's name. I like that they include, like, they carried him over, and, like, he does stuff. Like, he's not great in this.
I mean, it's fine. I just don't really, like, I don't have the affection for him that you do.
No. Well, that's impossible. Like, I like him in Jabba's Palace, like, very, like, clumsily undercover. Like,
mm-hmm.
he's wearing that helmet, but he's always, like, peering over the mask. I had that action figure when I was a kid, and it was one of my favorites. I guess my favorite bit of him in this, I like that he's leading that Death Star battle.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool for me. But my favorite is probably when he's being pulled into the Sarlacc pit. Han's trying to save him and he's lifting up the gun. And he's like, I thought you were blind. He's like, I can see better. He's like, a little higher. Just a little higher. But you're right. Lando doesn't do much in this movie. He's just kind of there and they act like it's a bigger deal. But the space battle, I talked good things about it because I think visually it's the best looking space battle.
Mm-hmm.
But it's playing at least narratively like second string to everything else.
Yeah.
That it's kind of perfunctory. And even though it looks amazing, you don't have that drive behind it. You're not as interested in it,
mm-hmm.
which I think is kind of a shame. But I like that he's there, and I like the dude. And I'm still reading his Marvel comic right now. It's a lot of fun. Now onto the real main characters. You didn't have any other Lando thoughts?
No, not really. Nah. I found it weird that he was, like, at Jabba's place and then doesn't do anything except almost die.
Uh-huh.
Like, he's not really very helpful.
That's another controversy with this movie, is the fact that that escape plan from Jabba's palace makes no sense.
It doesn't really at all. I'm like, okay.
It's like a D&D plan that your party comes up with, like, minute by minute.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're like, we'll do this, and we'll send that guy in undercover, and then we'll send in two more of our people, and one of them will be pretending to collect a bounty on the other one. It's like, it's a terrible plan. And Lando's part in it makes maybe the least, probably not the least sense, but it doesn't make sense why he's there like that. The real main character is Luke is in this, and you said you didn't like him. I love Return of the Jedi Luke.
I mean, I like his character, but I thought his acting was no good.
No?
Yeah, like, when he shows up and he's Mr. Serious, I'm doing Jedi mind tricks on you, it felt very abrupt from the Luke that we just saw in Empire. I felt like he was still so learning and so, like, I mean, he was accomplishing things and he was learning, but he seems, like, super serious and masterly in that first scene. And then I feel like that completely goes away.
Oh, yeah.
And he feels like a kid again.
Really?
Like, a half hour later to me. Yeah.
In the Dagobah scene?
Yeah. And I don't know if it's just because of... I mean, it wasn't even necessarily with Yoda. I think it was more with Obi-Wan.
With Ben.
But that scene was just so limp and flat. And
that scene does, like... It's a speed bump.
Yeah.
Is what it, like...
And the way that he doesn't really have a reaction felt more like how a kid would react to me, without really understanding the depth of what you're being told. You know how that is? You find out something when you're a kid, and you just don't really get the gravity of it, so you're just like, oh, okay, and you just take it as in stride, because you don't get it.
I'll agree with you halfway. I feel like that is a kid way to react. I don't think it's kid Luke... from Star Wars way to react. Like, that guy would be like, what? Golly gee! Like, you know?
I don't feel like he's Luke from Star Wars, but I feel like
he's kind of regressive.
Like, he feels like two different people in the movie, you know?
Yeah.
I
could see that. Like I said, Return of the Jedi Luke is like my Luke.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he wears all black, which is a cool thing to do. And I love that he comes back with a different color light. Like, that's just, like... That's the kid in me, I guess. Like, he comes back, but it's a new thing. Like, you know, all you've ever seen are the blue lightsabers if you're a good guy, and it's a red lightsaber for the bad guy. And I feel like they're kind of teasing, like, we know, you've never seen these movies, but you know Luke's not going to be a bad guy.
Of course not.
But, like, if you were seeing this for the first time in 1983, you know, you saw Empire in 80, and it's been 3 years, and he shows up wearing all black and acting like a badass and choking dudes, like, you might think that maybe he's, like, gonna flirt with the dark side a little bit or something.
Okay.
And I think that's cool. And I like that he's not as whiny in this.
Oh,
like,
definitely.
I get that his reaction to the whole Leia thing is not great, but like, I like that he's kind of stoic and that he's kind of taken his lessons to heart finally, and he's kind of a badass. I love it when he's on Endor and he goes after the, you know, the scout troopers, and he jumps off the bike and just pulls out the lightsaber and just...
Yeah.
Fucking wrecks that dude. Like, reflects back the blaster bolts and then chops his motorcycle in half, and that guy's fucking dead.
Yeah.
You know? I like it when he's... I like how confident he is when he's going after Jabba.
Mm-hmm.
Like...
Well, that's kind of what I mean, though. It's like, I liked it, but I didn't feel like it felt consistent.
Mm-hmm.
If he had been like that, and then I felt like it carried through the whole movie, I'd be like, wow, I guess he just grew a lot since we last saw him from the previous movie. But it felt like a big shakeup from the last movie when we first saw him. And I'm like, oh, okay, I guess Luke's grown up a lot. And then two scenes later, I felt like he was the same Luke as before.
Hmm.
And it just was sort of
so after Jabba, just in that Dagobah stuff, and like that kind of ruins it for you? Like, you don't think he's... Because I feel like he's good on the Death Star. Like, I like that stuff for him.
I don't feel like his acting was good in that.
No?
No.
Like,
I just, like, through that, throughout the whole movie, I just did not feel his acting at all. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I feel like I'm bumming people out, by saying that.
I think Mark Hamill is I think he is unfairly criticized. I think he's a decent actor. Like, he's not Harrison Ford. Okay, that's fair. But,
okay.
Like, a lot of people shit on all over his acting, and I think he's pretty good. I think he's fine. I think he's he's a better voice actor. He's a good performer, and he got better going on, but I think in this movie, like, there's not a lot of emoting, and maybe it could be better, but I like it.
I didn't know that people shit all over his acting.
Oh,
like,
people.
It bothered me. Like, during the scenes on the Death Star,
mm-hmm.
it was frustrating for me, because I felt like he had the Emperor, who is obviously an awesome actor, giving him everything. Like, he had so much to work with in those scenes, and I felt like it was throwing, like, gold down a toilet. Like, he was just sucking up all of the energy in the scene and not giving anything back. And it was really frustrating. Like, as somebody who has taken acting classes and stuff before, I have worked with people who have that sort of, like, nothing quality. And I don't feel like he's had that in all the other movies.
Mm-hmm.
It just, throughout this one in particular, it just felt like his facial expressions were really either, they didn't change at all, or it was the same expression over and over. Sort of the way that Emilia Clarke is as Daenerys. It seems like she's got, like, two go-to expressions that she uses over and over.
That's some harsh shit right there.
That's how it felt with me. That he either has this, like, forlorn look that he goes to when he's, like, upset or thinking about his sister or looking out at the ships that are, like, in battle. Or he has his angry look where he glares.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the two that he just, like, doesn't know how to break out of.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to say that he's got a lot of range in this. Because I feel like the whole point with his confrontation with the Emperor, which is the shit I love about this movie, to be honest. Because, like I said, big Emperor guy. But, like, the whole thing is he's trying to be stoic and serene. And, you know, the
mm-hmm.
way he's been throughout this entire movie, minus those terrible scenes that we've already talked about. But this guy's fucking irritating. And he's the worst. He's the worst guy, and that's why I love the Emperor, but he's just kneeling him and being so fucking smug and just so cartoonishly evil, and there's nothing you can do about it. Because his whole thing is he's supposed to be passive.
It's like, I think the Emperor obviously is super needling and whatever, but I feel like a better actor could get across the fact that they're trying to hide the fact that they're upset, whereas Mark Hamill really looked like he was just bored. You know? I feel like there are a lot of people who manage to convey, like, six different emotions on their face at once. And it's sort of like the guy who plays Hannibal on the TV show, Mads Mikkelsen. His face barely has to twitch, and you get this whole, like, insight that you could go on for half an hour guessing what was he thinking in that moment, just from this flicker of expression. And it was super frustrating for me, because I felt like, you know?
Like, look, no one in this movie acts as good as those Hannibal people. Like,
oh, well.
Like, that's some subtle, brilliant shit. And part of that is, you know, good directing and, you know, the people making it kind of gave a little bit more of a shit. And, like, you got more complex thing going on in the script.
I'm not trying to compare them to I'm just saying that you can be stoic and still look like somebody's going on in your head.
I see what you mean. Like, there could have been more there. But I give him a pass. I like it. I think he's better than fucking Daenerys. I think he did. That's some harsh shit. Like,
I'm sorry.
Why you had to do Mark Hamill like that, babe? We've talked about Luke a lot, though. There's Leia in this movie. What do you think of her? The infamous gold bikini is in this movie.
I was actually pleasantly surprised by that, because I know that's obviously a huge thing just for dudes in general.
Very divisive.
And for cosplay, it's like, you know, one of those go-tos. I expected them to be more leery and exploitative about it, and there was like...
Was Jabba the Hutt keeping her on a chain and licking her not leery enough for you?
But that felt like they were putting it in a frame of, like, this is fucking horrifying. Instead of making it quasi-titillating for us as well, there's that one scene where she's, like, laying on her side and that she looks, like, really sexy, but I don't feel like they kept doing that. I don't feel like they kept doing, like, close-ups of her quote, fighting while her boobs are bouncing around, or close-ups of her ass while she's, like, you know, turning around and doing something. Like, that is the kind of thing that you would get in a lot of other action movies if a woman was dressed this way.
Mm-hmm.
And it would just be like, what? We're just showing her doing her badass thing. And, oh, her tits just happen to have to be in the camera the whole time. They didn't do that. And I was really concerned that that was going to be a thing. So I thought it was handled really well, where they were, like, making it clear, she's being totally exploited, and this is super gross, but we're not going to try and be part of that. We're not going to, like, be complicit in it, you know?
Yeah. I'm very back and forth on it, because, like I said, like, I have said this before, I believe, on the program. I am a creep, and I saw this movie when I was young, and I had the DVDs at a very formative era, and, like, the part of my personality that loves, like, cheesecakey, like, sexy, fetishized stuff,
mm-hmm.
loves it. Like, come on, like, this is, like, a character from my youth, and she's all sexed up, and it's pretty awesome. I also very much appreciate that she, like, she doesn't even have to get rescued, really.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they start doing shit, and then she's like, okay, I'm gonna choke out Jabba now.
Yeah.
And, like, no one has to help her with it. She gets that chain around his neck, and fucking, dude, that's a brutal kill for this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she chokes
that was
a bitch.
Another thing that I really liked was the fact that she doesn't, it's not like she's part of the plan, and somebody's like, okay, go. And she's like, okay. She just takes the opportunity that she sees. She's like, oh, it's in chaos. Now's my chance.
Yeah.
Because she's not an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
And I just really like the fact that, like, she. And that's another thing where I feel like another movie, a woman dressed like she is, who is fighting a creature and, like, has a chain and is pulling, they would have done some, like, heaving chest sort of. They focus on her hands and her wrists and her face. That's
yeah.
it. They don't, like, mess with that. I just was very happy with that.
Now, I do want to say that I don't think this is because, like, necessarily. Well, actually, I guess I can't shit on George Lucas too much in this because he actually didn't direct this one.
Okay.
Directed by Richard Marquand, who did a lot of TV work. And like I was saying on the visuals, I think that shows. Because it's filmed very much more like TV instead of movie.
Okay.
In a lot of ways. But yeah, like, they don't do super sexy, you know,
mm-hmm.
appealing stuff. And I don't know if that's because they're lazy or if it's because they're progressive. I don't know that I'm willing to give them that they're progressive.
Yeah, I don't know that that's it. But it's just nice to have had my expectations there subverted a little bit.
Now, there are things that I love about Leia in this movie. Like, she goes undercover as a bounty hunter.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, goes to save her man. Like, she goes out there to do it, and she almost does it. She almost pulls it off. like, I like that. I like it when she gets shot, and she, like, totally, like, palms a blaster and, like, blows those stormtroopers away.
Yes.
Like, that's
and
good.
And he says, I love you, and she says, I know.
But some of my least favorite things are in this with Leia, also. Like, I don't, you love this, but I did not. I didn't like her thing with the Ewoks, where she comes back and she's, like, space hippie Leia.
Oh, I didn't really like, I just liked her hair in that scene. It wasn't like I was
I hate that they did, and I also, like, we talked about it ad nauseum, but the Luke and Leia stuff, like, those are the worst scene. And so whenever I think of Leia in this movie, I'm just like, well, she was really sexist, or she was really sexy, and I have complicated feelings about that, and she was in the worst scenes in Star, like, terrible. Like, that scene, the scene where she has with Han, like, I almost, like, I want to like it, but then there's also the thing where she's like, yeah, he's fine, I feel it. Like, that is her only concession to her having Jedi powers,
yeah.
is that she can feel that Luke's fine.
And that's a good scene for the example of, like, you know, trying to act like you're hiding your feelings. It's like Harrison Ford in that scene hears that she cares about this guy and is trying to act like he's going to be supportive, even though it's, like, ripping his heart out.
Mm-hmm.
And he acted the shit out of that scene. And that's a, you know, an example to me of somebody who can get a lot across without having to do very much.
Mm-hmm.
But that scene itself,
yeah,
you know, I don't care for at all. I just thought that he was really good in it.
I guess my biggest problem with Leia in this is that she, you know, it's one thing, it's a plot contrivance that they're related.
Mm-hmm.
But Carrie Fisher does nothing to sell it. And part of that is in the script, because it's the dialogue, you know, that I know, somehow I've always known. Like, that's
mm-hmm.
a bullshit line.
Yeah.
And that's a bullshit justification. But she does nothing to sell that. And then later on, when she's talking with Han, she's like, well, of course I love. Like, and she's just completely oblivious
to
how
it
sounds.
What that's going
to
sound like, yeah.
It's, But we've talked about this shit too much. And so let's move on to Han, unless you have any more Leia ideas. I like her.
Yeah, no,
I like her indoor outfit. I feel bad because I always talk about Leia's outfits. Well, I talked about Luke's a little, but
I mean, her clothes change though. Nobody else has really changed at all.
Everyone kind of gets wardrobe changes in this one.
A little bit, but they're not drastic like hers are.
Like Lando, he had that cool mask. He didn't wear that.
That's part of a disguise. It doesn't really count.
That was his. Groucho glasses. So moving into Han.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is the weakest Harrison Ford is in the series. And he's still good. Like, he's still Harrison Ford.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still got some shining moments in this. But he kind of didn't want to be here. Like, it was up in the air whether or not he would return.
Okay.
And I think that shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at points he just seems, like, super, like, he's not into it.
I've heard that he wasn't really excited to do another one, so I'm wondering for the upcoming one if he's going to be, like, into it or not,
well,
you know?
I mean, we've had, like, what, 15, 20 years of, like, bored Harrison Ford? Like, we know what we're in for. We saw Cowboys versus Aliens.
Well, no, I don't mean even that. I mean, like, he has gone on record in interviews being like, I'm so sick of people calling me Han and wanting me to, like, sign stuff. Like, he's just so tired of his association with the series in general, so...
Yeah.
When he was going to be in the sequel, I was just like, oh, well, okay. Whereas he was super excited to do another Indiana Jones movie, and we all know how that turned out.
Was
so,
he? I didn't know that.
Yeah, when they asked him if he would do another one in an interview with Oprah, I think it was, he said, in a New York minute.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that big a surprise to me that they wound up doing a sequel with him again. But this, it did surprise me. When I saw that he was, like, in the trailer, I was like, oh.
And it can be hard to judge, because I listened to an episode of The Nerdist where they interviewed him, and, like, all the promotion shit, interviews, dealing with fans, like, that is the stuff that Harrison Ford is not into it for.
Mm-hmm.
He used to be a carpenter, and he was into carpentry because he liked working with wood.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't like it for being praised for it. It was just, like, a thing he liked to do. And it's the same with acting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he likes going there, doing his thing, being able to be creative, and all the promotion and the fan bullshit, that's not what he's there for.
Right.
So, of course, he hates Star Wars. It surprises me he likes Indiana Jones.
Yeah, I mean, that was, like, that he kind of, you could see his face light up a little bit when they mentioned it in the interview. Like, he was obviously a massive fan.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I love, like I said, I listened to that interview. It is hard to listen to, because he's so clearly just, like, not there for it. And the Nerdist guys are people that I think conduct very good interviews
mm-hmm.
that normally really win over even, like, jaded actors.
Mm-hmm.
And Harrison Ford just wasn't.
Aw, that's sad.
He just didn't want to do it. Like, so yeah, I feel like in this Star Wars movie, like, it's going to be like how it is in Jedi. Like, I don't like how Harrison Ford is acting in Jedi, but I'm still glad he's in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's still, like, I wouldn't want him to not be in it. And so I'm, like, you know, you were there when I first saw... that trailer
mm-hmm.
for Force Awakens, and Han was there, and he, you know, he looks like 75-year-old Harrison Ford, like, just in his old outfit. I was just like, Chewie, we're home. I flipped the fuck out, and I totally shouldn't, and it will probably be garbage, but, I mean, it's Harrison Ford. He has more charisma than basically every other actor in this movie.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Except for Lando.
If it could have been Harrison Ford versus... the Emperor, that shit, I would have been there for. I would have really loved to see that.
Well, I mean, the Emperor's in those prequels.
That is the kind of thing, too, I think, is that I like the fact that Harrison Ford eventually winds up being, like, you know, for the Rebels and really in it. And I think it would have been more interesting if he was Luke. If, like, they went and tried to find Luke, and it turns out, oh, he's actually a criminal and kind of a shitty dude and doesn't want to be a Jedi. And this is, like, it takes a while. And so him having his attitude problem and then facing the Emperor would have been so much more interesting. Also, finding out asshole Darth Vader is his father. I mean, I just think it would have been really fun. I kept thinking that throughout. It was just like, I just want to see what Harrison Ford do all of this instead.
I just love the idea of, like, the Emperor, like, taunting him and shit and being sarcastic. And just, it's that clip of Han Solo, like, rolling his eyes
mm-hmm.
when he's talking to them in the bar. Or when he's talking to Greedo, that's what it is.
Yeah.
I didn't bring it with me. Just like that forlorn, like, sarcastic look to him. Just, I don't think Harrison Ford would do as well on that archetype. But, I mean, I'd kill for that deleted scene or that, you know, that SNL skit.
Yes.
Like, that would make a great SNL skit. I don't think it'd make a great movie, but, like, that's a fun idea. I mean, I like his... I like the shtick with him being blind. Like, I think that's good comedy. That has my favorite, not my favorite, my Chase's, my best friend's favorite line in the movie, which is, Boba Fett,
Boba Fett, where?
And he just knocks his, I did not put Boba Fett on here. What did you think about Boba Fett being this big, like, bumped up dude who, like, everyone thought was super cool, and then him going out like a chump?
I was like, I'm honestly confused at the popularity of Boba Fett overall.
He looks cool. That's all there is to
it. That's it? I don't even think he looks that cool.
Oh, he looks
cool.
He looks
so not that cool to me that he genuinely... I didn't realize who you were talking about a lot of the time when you were talking about his armor. I was, like, trying to think, like, whose armor is he talking about? I really didn't even know. And then when I went back and looked, I was like, oh. Because to me, it just looks like Darth Vader and the Stormtrooper's helmets got, like, kind of melded together, and then they got a paint job from, like, a 1957 Chevy. You know? I don't think it's that exciting. I don't know.
Send your furious fan mail to the... I love the visual of Boba Fett. He's like Wolverine. Like,
okay.
He was cool when he was mysterious, and there wasn't much to him, and you're just like, look at that cool, like, dude. And then, like...
Not winning me over
here. What I'm saying is, and then everyone took that way too far, and it became way too popular. And then everyone was like, dude, fuck this guy. He's not that cool. Like,
okay.
That's the thing for me for Boba Fett. So, like, I'll always think he looks cool, but I will have a hard time, like, really liking him anymore.
Okay.
That's kind of the way that is. Chewie's in this movie.
Yeah. Here and there.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's got a new haircut yet again. I like it when he takes over that scout walker. Not so crazy about the Tarzan yell he does, but...
Oh, God.
That was a bit much, George Lucas. Like...
But George Lucas didn't direct this.
He didn't direct it, but he put that shit in the script.
Do you think?
I think so. I mean, have you seen Crystal Skull?
Yes. Oh, God. Yeah, I did.
I mean, you remember the monkeys and, like, Shia LaBeouf, Tarzan swing with those monkeys?
That was the moment where I just, like, turned and looked at whoever I went, got to see it with. I don't even remember. And I was like, fucking really? That was the moment.
You lasted that long? That's pretty good.
I was trying to give them the benefit of the doubt because the other movies can seem ludicrous at points, too. And I was like, well, maybe. Is it just me? Am I just too hooked on the old ones? And then I was just like, nope, it's not just me. That is just garbage.
Well,
and that's all there is to it.
We will save this for our Indiana Jones podcast. Chewie is... I mean, like, it's like, it always is with Chewie. Like, I like that he's there, but he's not what I'm here for.
Yeah.
He has even less to do in this one, I think.
And you kept on telling him to shut up.
When?
When they're trying to, like, you know, sneak up.
Oh, yeah.
Because,
like,
he just, like, all the fucking time. Every question, that's his answer. Just like, dude, don't you have any other volume settings, anything?
My favorite moment with Chewie in this is... when the scout walker comes up to the bunker and Han and Leia are, like, just, like, huddled there, and Han puts his hands up and Chewie just pops his head up. And you know it's Chewie, but Han just, like, Chewie! Which is how I greet most of my friends when I haven't seen them in a while.
Makes me think of Troy popping out of the garbage can and seeing Ovid.
It is a very Troy and Ovid moment. So the droids are in this movie. Maybe, like, I feel like... Same with this. Like, it's kind of diminishing returns with the droids.
Yeah.
But this movie has C-3PO being mistaken for a god, and I love that
And he
shit.
Reacts exactly as I would expect.
Oh, it's
which
perfect.
Is, oh, well, that's fine, and I'm gonna go with it. And I'm not really gonna do anything to help you guys, because I'm a god, so...
Well, he's not
whatever.
Like that. He's like, I'm not a god. I can't. No. Impersonating a deity is against my primary programming.
Well, what is he actually doing? He is sitting there on a throne, letting them throw him a banquet. That is impersonating a deity.
But it's not really him going with it so much as it him being carried up into it, being pushed around into it, and not being able to push himself out.
I guess. It just felt like he was being lazy and tried to act like, oh, well, No, it's because of my programming, when in fact he was like, no, man, this is awesome. I want to ride this out.
It's rather embarrassing, Captain Solo, but apparently you were to be served as the main course at a feast to my honor.
Yep.
Which is sadly, like, one of my favorite relationships in these movies is how much Han hates 3PO. And you really only get that in Empire, because you get that in this scene and almost nowhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he doesn't get nearly as fed up with 3PO as he does in Empire, which is a shame. And R2 doesn't do a lot in this movie, except for he's got the really cool moment where he shoots the lightsaber to Luke out of his head,
yeah.
Which is cool. And he serves drinks. That's cool. That's a cool thing for R2 to do, because alcohol is cool.
I'm trying to think of, yeah, like, he gets short-circuited when he tries to that door, and they're just like, well, I guess I'll just hotwire it, and they don't give a fuck at all.
Yeah, they don't care that he got shot.
Aw, poor
He has more attachments than this. He's got, like, that buzzsaw.
Oh, that's right.
And that a little shocky arm. I think that's cool. I guess. That's fine. Let's see, Tree, the droids. Yoda's in this movie.
Briefly, before he dies.
That scene that he's in, it's like it's half good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like the part where he's, like, kind of melancholy about dying, and he gives Luke, you know, when 900 years you reach, look as good you will not, Like, you get a little bit more of that, like, kind of sassy, silly Yoda.
Yeah.
But his, like, death scene where he's, like, on his deathbed and, like, croaking and, like...
There is another.
It's no good.
I'm like, really, guys? Honestly, I was surprised that he said as much as he did. I thought he was going to die when he was like, Luke, don't. And then he would die. And he'd be like, don't what, Yoda? Don't what?
Don't drink diet soda because of the carcinogenic sweeteners.
But yeah, I actually was like sad that Yoda dies. I didn't want him to go.
It's a sad scene when he's like kind of limping around.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's been said that the puppet was deteriorating at this point.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Aww. Like, you asked why they didn't use that puppet in the prequels, and it's because, like, apparently there wasn't much of a puppet left.
But he looked so good.
I don't think he looks as good in this one, though.
Hmm. Well, he's older.
It's...
Man, you know, nobody looks as good anymore. Once you started to deteriorate, look as good, you will not.
Well, I said that, I think, in the last podcast, that part of what makes that puppet work is the lighting. And because the lighting in this one isn't as good, like, I think it's
okay.
Not as good looking. But, I mean, it's still, like, 1983, that's a good fucking puppet.
Yeah, it is. Oh, my God, we forgot to talk about the giant puppet that they fight at Jabba's.
Oh, the Rancor.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not in here as a character, but I love the Rancor.
And
he looks amazing.
He looks unbelievable.
You were like, is that a puppet? I was like, yeah, it's a puppet, dude.
And the fucking trainer who's super sad that he died? I think that's the single best moment in the whole movie.
I was going to say, it's not really the best moment for me, but it's the best touch.
Yeah.
Like, because it's a little thing that they didn't have to do, that someone snuck in there,
mm-hmm.
and it's amazing. Like, you feel for that guy, that shirtless guy.
That was my friend. Yeah, it's like that moment where the Ewoks, like, one of them dies, and the other one rolls over and, like, gets up, and is like, hey. Hey.
Yeah.
Hey. And I was like, oh, God. Because we see everybody getting blasted and killed and falling and everything, but that's the only moment that you really get any gravity to anybody's death at all.
And we didn't talk about this in the Ewok discussion, but I feel like that really, it doesn't make up for it, but it helps sell the whole Ewok
thing. It helps.
Look, they're not all, like, completely, like, you know, no casualties. Like, someone's getting hurt.
Yeah.
I love, like... The whole thing in Jabba's thing, like, I never know how to feel about it, but that is an amazing bit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man,
that scene where there's that dancer that's the green woman with the that gets dropped in
the Twi'lek
that
dancer.
Was fucked up.
Yeah, that's pretty messed up.
That was like that really upset me. Honestly, it just I don't know.
I mean, he threw his hooker down a pit.
It was just so like
it's a very Bond villain moment.
It felt more even. Worse than that to me. I don't know. It was like, because it was for the spectators beyond just like the bad guy just doing something because he's evil. It's like the whole crowd is in on it and like hooting with glee.
Yeah,
you know?
That's pretty fucked
it's
up.
It's just like, ugh, I hated it.
And then Jabba eats a frog.
Yeah, that's fine.
which actually, that's where I'm at now. the two of the new villains in this movie, and I'm actually going to get to the secondary one first, because I think we both very much love Salacious B. Crumb, Jabba's Kauaian monkey lizard.
Oh my god, is that what his name is?
Yeah.
Salacious B. Crumb?
Salacious B. Crumb. Now that was in some Star Wars, like, novelization shit.
Oh my god.
But I kind of love that that's his name.
That
is, I love that he has a middle initial. Like, really?
He's, and it feels like they have to put him in laughing every, about
yeah, every time
90 seconds.
Every time Jabba does something evil, mm-hmm. he has to cackle with glee.
Every time somebody fucks up, yeah. he has to cackle. Every time somebody, like, tries something and fails or, yeah. you know, says something that sounds stupid.
I mean,
and then even, like, at the end, nobody does... There's actually a moment where nobody has said or done anything, and he laughs anyway. There's nothing happening, and you're like, why did you just laugh? Okay.
I like the... I mean, think of how it must be if you work there. Like, you know, you trip over the, one of those rugs, and he just laughs his ass like he's the worst.
Yeah. He's like the Peeves the Poltergeist.
He is Peeves the Poltergeist. When I was a kid... one of my neighbors growing up, a good friend of mine, had the Return of the Jedi Super Nintendo game. Which, as with all older games, it was very difficult. And whenever you would die, Salacious Crumb would laugh at you.
Oh no.
Yeah. Which is just, when you're pissed off because you just lost a level and you were working hard and you have to start over.
Like,
that is the most
you,
maddening. It would have that, and it would have the Emperor laughing at you.
Ooh.
The two most, like, irritable assholes in the whole galaxy, just, like, giving you shit.
That's funny.
But, I mean, speaking of puppets, I think Salacious looks pretty good. I think Jabba looks good.
Jabba does look good.
Like that...
Because he's not CGI'd and garbage. You know, whatever.
Do you see what I was talking about with the characterization? Like, that's not the same dude.
No! Like, him walking around with his people, like, just, he's not gonna... That's a dude who has been sitting on the same patch of ground for the last, like, 15, 20
yeah.
years.
Yeah.
He's not left that spot. Yeah, it's just, like, it really feels like George Lucas just wants to play mods, but he doesn't want to actually know his characters.
Yeah.
It's like he's constantly writing fan fiction with his own shit because he doesn't even get what he wrote. That's
yeah.
weird.
Yeah. It's just so obvious going back that, like, he had an idea of, you know, what Jabba was like when he wrote Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as you go on and keep writing and keep making things, like, characters change.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, by the time you get to Jedi, Jabba is this, like, he's a big fat space worm living on a thing. But yet you get why he's in charge.
Oh, yeah.
Of. Like, he has this charisma to him. He has this kind of disgusting regalness to him, if that makes sense. Like,
I really like when he's making the deal with the bounty hunter. And the guy's like, I have a bomb, that's why you're giving me 50. And he's like, oh, that's actually pretty good. I'll give you 35. Like, that, I like that scene a lot,
yeah.
because he's like, oh, this dude, he's not trustworthy at all. Love him.
We talked about 3PO. I'm going to go back real quick. And 3PO is Jabba's interpreter. 3PO in Jabba's palace in general. It's wonderful. The great Jabba asks why he must pay 50,000. Because he's holding a thermal detonator!
Oh,
and everyone, goodness. Like, covers their face and freaks out.
What does Salacious do in that moment? Doesn't he, like, run away?
Oh, he hides. He hides into Jabba's tummy. Whatever it is Salacious Crumb does.
Salacious Crumb, God, that's really good.
And he's so gross. Like, with that scene with Leia. Like,
oh, where he licks her face?
Yeah,
oh,
like,
yeah.
As much as I'm like, oh, yeah, Leia's gonna get in that bikini, I'm still always, every time it's just like, ugh. Like, he is, they do a good job at making him just fucking gross.
Yep.
And, like, so proud and so unimpressed with Luke when he shows up. He's like, I'm a Jedi. It's like, ZD Jedi. Just always making fun of him and shit.
Yeah, the, your fucking mind tricks aren't gonna work on me. I like that he calls this dude that, like, leads Luke in weak-minded.
You weak-minded fool.
He's like, damn it, dude!
I like the fictional language he's speaking.
Oh, yeah.
Huttese.
Huttese, and then the Ewoks speak Ewokese. Can't we just do other something? Like, what about Ewokian? I think Ewokian sounds better than
I was
going to
say Ewoki. Just Ewoki. Like, those are such cheesy lines. And, like, you've heard Jabba impressions. Like, you've never seen these movies, but, like, people do the whole thing with it. But, like, that booming voice and everything, it's affecting.
I think
it's good. So any more stuff with Jabba? I love how, like, ostentatious all his shit is.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's so, like, it's dirty in there, and yet it's all, like, gold and shit. Like, he's like a pirate, you know? There's Vader. Vader in this, he's my next character on the list, and I think this is the weakest Vader we get. He's not as bad as in Star Wars.
Really? Like, it's weird, because...
He's like, oddly neutered because he has this whole thing with his son.
Yeah, well, it's not even the son, it's his dynamic with his master.
That too.
Him being, like, when he was in the first movie, no, he wasn't in charge, but it felt like he was still. Even though there was somebody that was higher up than him, it felt like he was at least manipulating that guy and had some power over him in some way.
I wouldn't even say manipulating, but it's like with a general commanding, like a commander, like a field commander, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that guy could kick that guy's ass in a fight, even though he follows his rules.
Right.
Whereas with the Emperor, he's his bitch.
Yeah.
Like, no getting around it.
When he starts bowing and saying, "Yes, my master," I was like, wait, what the fuck?
And he's like a leather daddy. I regret saying that.
No.
You noticed this last movie. He has gotten even shinier.
I did not notice that, honestly.
You noticed it in Empire, though, that he was shinier.
Oh, in Empire,
he
was shinier.
He gets shinier in every movie.
And also the fact that he actually calls Luke son.
It's weird.
That I was really thrown by. Yeah. And so
he does it too much. Like, he could do it once or twice, but he's like always like, "Hey, son, you want to toss the football around?"
And I get, like, if you're trying to needle somebody and remind them that, hey, you hate me, but I'm your dad. But he says it with affection. He doesn't say it like he's trying to piss him off.
Yeah, he's like, he's super proud of his kid.
Yeah.
He rode his first speeder bike today. All by himself.
Aww.
I like the duel that they have, though. The Vader Luke.
Yeah,
duel. It's not as good as Empire's, but that thing, the one in Empire, is, like, hard to beat.
Yeah.
And I like the whole, like, visual of the Emperor's throne room.
The Emperor's throne room is really cool.
So is there any more Vader stuff you want to talk about?
Mm.
I don't, like, they try and play up his conflict and everything, and it doesn't always, like, really hit me as good as it should. I don't think it's bad, but it falls a little flat for me.
It relies a little bit too much on Luke saying, "I can feel you're conflicted."
Yeah.
I don't want a character telling me what another character is feeling for me to get it, you know?
I will say, I think this is the best voice work that James Earl Jones does. Like, his voice sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Which is probably just him getting, you know, a little older.
But I do like that he is... I like that he saves Luke in the end, and that he's not, like, you know, forever evil, forever, forever. But also, I wish that Luke hadn't seemed so emotionally attached to him. It's one thing to know somebody's your dad and to, like, have this sort of history with him or this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it felt too much like, you used to be my daddy and then you turned evil. And, like, as if Luke had known him before he turned evil and still cared about him from the old days.
You think it was a little too attached?
Yeah, it just was like, you never knew this guy at all except as the evil guy he is now.
Yeah.
And him being your dad, like, I get that making it a conflict for you, but I just didn't see where that emotion came from in terms of, like, the final scene with the two of them where Luke's like, "No, I'm not leaving you here." I was like, really? You're not? Because he's clearly dying and he's awful. I mean, he saved you, but he's awful. And the devil.
He blew up a planet, dude.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
I see what you mean. And yet, I can't say that I wish, like, I don't know what they could have done to save it.
Yeah.
And...
I mean, it's hard, because they're trying to make Luke super altruistic.
Yeah.
So.
And, like, it's the main pivot of the whole, like, even the prequels, like, the whole franchise, you know? So I don't know what you do to fix it. We didn't talk about a little friend of mine named Sebastian Shaw, who is the actor who plays him under the mask.
Oh, okay.
Because we talked about it in one of these... It might have been a lost episode, but Jedi was my first Star Wars movie.
Oh, okay.
I came into
it. Oh, that's right. Yeah, you did.
In the finale.
And then you had to go back and hear from your dad what happened.
But what I remember is the lightsaber duel, the lightning, and Vader getting his mask off. And when I was a kid, I thought that was so cool that you had to see, like, his gross face under it. So now I see it, I kind of cringe. Like, the guy under the mask is so, like, I get what they're doing. They're like, oh, he's big and scary with the mask on. You take it off and he's so vulnerable and just an old man. But, like, he's such, like, a kind of round-faced, like, just an old dude. Like, I mean, I don't think it works.
I think it works.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, it reminds me of, like, two different things. Like, one, turning over a rock and the pale, like, grubs that are under the rock. Like, it feels that
it is
he
gross.
Just hasn't seen sun in forever. His body is being supported by this machine, and so he's, like, run to fat a little bit and just kind of looks like he's decaying even though he's alive.
Yeah.
Which I think works really well.
He's
and
more machine now than man.
It's not even, like, he doesn't even look more machine than man. It
no,
looks
he
like
doesn't.
He's more, he's like a corpse already, you know? And I also am reminded of dudes who are online trolls who then turn out to be horrible, fat, like, loser dudes who have never actually accomplished anything that they've wanted, or, like, this is some, have you seen that study floating around that, a research group went out there to find out who a lot of online trolls are and what motivates them, and they found that many of the online trolls that specifically target children and women as, like, harassers are actual losers.
Oh, yeah.
Often,
that doesn't
like,
surprise me
and
at all.
That is exactly, I felt like he was, like, a troll.
Yeah.
You know?
I get that. I guess it's just, I have a real hard time, like, seeing this dude, like, the actor they cast, and being like, oh, yeah, that's the guy who blew up the planet.
Really?
Like, that's the guy who was feared across the galaxy. Like, it's his face. Like, he's so, like, round-faced and just, like, I mean, I get it. I get what they're going for, but it doesn't work for me.
Huh, that's weird to me.
Completely. Like, I like that he's gross under there and that there's a vulnerability there, but I think it would have been better. Like you said, he looks like a corpse, but like you said also, he's, like, chubby a little bit. Like, if he was more, like, thin and, like, hollowed out and gaunt, I could have gone with that, even. Like, I'm not saying that I necessarily wanted to be imposing, but, like, he just looks like your like, friendly neighbor owl who was in an accident and he looks kind of gross now. Like,
I think that's why it works, though.
Yeah.
It's,
I mean,
sort of like...
It works for
I think it's, like, almost more threatening in that somebody can be very ordinary and turn out to do terrible things. Like, the banality of evil sort of cliche, but...
Well, this is skipping forward a little bit, but it's still on Darth Vader talk. At the end of the movie, Luke is at the party, and he looks off into the distance, and he sees the Force ghosts of Yoda and Ben, and then his dad shows up. And, of course, I blew a raspberry because we're watching special editions, and it's fucking the guy from the prequels.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, it was that guy, but as he would have been. So he's got his hair, and he's wearing Jedi robes, and he looks like a nice, older dude. I have a statue of that.
Oh, okay.
From before, obviously, Hayden Christensen was cast. And it's this little pewter bust of, like, friendly Anakin Skywalker as he should have been. And it's, like, on this little standee that's got a little pewter Darth Vader helmet next to it. And that I love. Like, I love the idea of what
he
would have
been. Why
would
they put Hayden Christensen when he wouldn't even have had Luke yet?
Because,
put the guy as he would be as his father after he had... Like, that doesn't make any sense at all.
In how Return of the Jedi should have ended, they've got Darth Vader, but, like, missing limbs and, like, the bald, pasty version, and just, like, waving at him with his stump. And he's like, oh, hey, thanks for showing up to me as I would have known you. He's like, yeah, how crazy would that have been if I would have appeared to you in a way that you had never seen?
Yeah, like, that's kind of what I was like, how does he even recognize that that's his father? I guess his feelings.
I mean, Sebastian Shaw, just, like, the actor, the dude, you know, as a nice, like, man in his 50s or whatever, showing up. Like, he wouldn't have necessarily recognized him, but, you know, he could have kind of recognized him from what he saw. And, you know, that's who my father would have been if he had never turned to the dark side. I think that's a great visual, and I fucking hate Hayden Christensen being in it.
Hayden Christensen's just... I just don't understand the logic of putting in a dude just because he's in the other movies when his son wouldn't have been born yet. in those movies. Like, yeah. The time, it just doesn't make sense.
Oh,
like,
but whatever. Then there's, we didn't talk about this, but the cop-out of Ben's explanation for why he said that Vader killed Anakin. He's like,
From a
certain point of view, when your dad turned to the dark side, then Anakin was dead. Like, that's, first of all, that's a bullshit explanation.
It shouldn't have been explained.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's very clear what the symbolism was supposed to be. If you think back on it, you don't need somebody fucking... There shouldn't have been a confrontation between him and Luke about it.
And if there was, it should have been Ben, like, kind of scuffing his foot and not making eye contact and being like, yeah, I couldn't tell you.
Mm.
Like, that could have been an amazing scene. But as we said when we were watching it, we were like, Alec Guinness is not here for this scene.
Nope.
Like, I like his scenes in Empire, but... like, he is so clearly not in for this shit.
I'm just not a fan of him ghosting around.
I like the ghost thing. I think it can be done well.
I do not like it at all.
I think it's fun in Empire. That's something we disagree with. But are you ready for our last one? Our last
character? Do it.
The Emperor.
Dun, dun, dun.
My favorite.
Yeah, like, he's really good.
He's, spoiler alert, he's in those prequels. Best thing about those prequels.
The same actor?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Ian McDiarmid, the guy who plays him, in Jedi, he was like 30. That's makeup. He's like a young dude.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And then, you know, in...
Well, that works out really well.
And then in
well
the prequels,
that, huh?
He's an old guy, and it's even better. Like, it's... he's barely in the first two, but he's in the third one quite a bit. And he is the best thing about that. Like, he is so hammy. He is hamming it up. He does it in this movie, too, and it's great.
And that's, like... I feel like people who... What he did was he hammed it and he committed to hamming it.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, because that's the worst is somebody who hams up certain moments or certain scenes or even certain lines and then they sort of pull back. And I'm like, you got to either decide to do this or you're not doing it.
Yeah.
Either or. But you can't have, you know, these huge moments where you're ridiculous and then trying to act like you're a regular person. And he just was like, I'm going to sink my teeth into this and I'm going to bite all of it off.
Mm-hmm.
And swallow it whole.
Yeah, he was in a play or something where he played an older character, and George Lucas saw it. I was like, oh, this guy should be our emperor. Best decision George Lucas made in this movie. Like, that was good casting. Like, he is great in this. He's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, he's in Revenge of the Sith, and it's like the same way, but whereas... He's almost even better in that because everyone in that is so flat and so not giving a shit. And he is, like, the only person there who's having fun. But in this one, like, he has almost all of my favorite lines from this movie are Emperor lines. Like, he does a great job just being the most irritating, smug, needling son of a bitch. I like his design that he's just, like, so decrepit. You know, when he is acting all smug and sarcastic to Luke. Like,
yes.
No one in this movie acts like that. Like, Han Solo acts smug, but, and, you know, like, sarcastic, but not like this. Like,
and this is, like, he's a dick and he's sarcastic and smug, but he manages to find a range even within that, where sometimes he's a dick and he's like, you need to be on the dark side. And then all of a sudden... I'm afraid it's going to be up when your friends come.
Oh, I'm so afraid.
Just the way that he, like, I feel like another actor would not have seen the potential to do something comedic in that moment. I feel like they would have just, like, arched an eyebrow and used the same tone, and it would have just felt like kind of, okay, bad guy, I get it.
Yeah.
But the way that he handled that one line, I was like, yeah, all right. That was pretty solid.
I love it when bad guy, like, okay, a deep, complex villain is great. Don't get me wrong. Like, Walter White, great character. Like, well done.
Mm-hmm.
But I really do find it refreshing. Just like how I find it refreshing in Avengers when Cap is so good and so beyond reproach. I love it when a bad guy is just a bad guy because he fucking loves it.
Yeah.
He just loves being evil.
Because he's got power, man.
And this guy loves being evil. Like, he's all for it.
Yep.
Like, why is he doing everything he's doing? Just because he really enjoys being evil. I love the old evil wizard archetype. Like, I like Voldemort. I think Voldemort is, in a lot of ways, the most interesting thing about some of those books. And I love Saruman. You and I recently watched several Lord of the Rings movies. And, like, I love that dude. But, like, Saruman is so, like, serious about it. And, like... the Emperor just loves being evil. Like, he's
that's
having...
part of what I like about the character Damon from Vampire Diaries. Is like, I feel like so many vampires in literature and on screen
mm-hmm.
are real mopey about being vampires and don't want to be. And the fun about Damon is he's a villain who really is like, I mean, he misses being human, but the vampire thing, he loves being faster. He loves being stronger. The mind control thing, he is all about it. Drinking blood is his favorite. Like, he loves being horrible because it's just fun and easy and he can just leave afterwards and he doesn't have to deal with it. And it's really nice to see a character not be fucking emo about their circumstances sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I get it. And they do layer him, but it's not as, like... It just feels like so much of the time they neuter bad guys a little bit in order to give them, quote, depth. And it's like,
yeah.
You can do that and still have them, you know, I don't know.
But the Emperor has no depth.
No, well... But see, that's the thing, is, like, I feel like the way he handles his lines,
uh-huh.
he doesn't have depth in that there's, like, you know, more to him than being evil.
Nope.
But it's that he has depth in that his evil has a weird sense of humor. It's, like, and it's not that shitty sense of humor that so many supervillains have, where they make a joke that's really not a joke and not funny to anybody, and he's just trying to gloat.
Yeah.
It really, the tone that he uses and the way he says it, it was, like, we played Gamma World tonight, and I was really mad at one of the other dudes because he killed somebody that we could have used for information or for bartering or whatever, and he goes, "Oh no, somebody died!" And it really reminded me of that with the shield.
Oh, I'm afraid the shields will be quite operational when your friends arrive. I love how when he first meets Luke, Vader is like, "Here is his lightsaber, my master," and he's like, "Ah, yes, a Jedi's weapon, much like your father's." He's, like, so contemptible of even that he's got a laser sword. He's like, "Fuck your laser sword, I can shoot lightning."
Right, yeah.
Did you know that he was going to do the lightning thing?
No.
Did you know that he had, like, magical force space shit?
I knew that. I figured he did. Since he wasn't carrying a weapon, I assumed he had to just be able to do stuff, like, with his hands.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
That's something,
I didn't know specifically what he was going
to
do.
Yeah, that's something that's done badly in the prequels. Like, not to spoil too much, but other people can do space lightning. Like, I love that that's... You never see that in any of these movies until he does that shit.
Because
he's, like, a step beyond, you know?
Right.
Like, everyone else, they can, like, do the mental shit, and maybe they're a little stronger, faster. They can kind of see the future, or, like, have, like, minor psychic powers. But this dude can summon lightning. That's,
yeah.
That's like a level 3 daily. Like, this guy's up, you know? And, like, he's just doing it to be a dick. Like, he could just have one of his guards, like, stab him with his spear, but he doesn't do that.
Yeah.
He's just gonna electrocute him just because he's more powerful than him and because he's annoyed him.
Mm-hmm.
Love that dude. I didn't have any more characters. I thought we'd throw in Akbar real quick. The fish
man.
It's a trap.
You
obviously heard that line a million times because you've been
times.
On the internet more
than
twice.
I've seen the GIF. I've seen the GIF, whatever. I've seen the screenshot, like, in comments or, you know.
It's still funny watching it. Like, it's so over the... He's just... I just love that they're, like... I love that there's that meeting, and it's that big serious meeting where, like, many Bothans died and shit. And then a fish man shows up. Like, because you've seen some weird aliens, but usually not, like, to show up and give, like, a PowerPoint presentation. And just, like, Fishman McGee shows up.
Is that the one meeting where there's a woman? The other woman?
Mon Mothma. The requisite one other female character.
Who, like, is also completely expressionless and flat.
Oh, yeah, she's, like...
Why?
I kind of like that, but, like... Not
it's
as
just
the,
weird.
Not as the only other female in the movie.
Right, yeah.
Like, I kind of like that the, you know, the if this was a modern movie, she'd be wearing, like, a pantsuit. But it's Star Wars, so she's wearing, like, a weird gown.
It's just weird to me to have a female, like, if you're not going to have any other female characters, having a single one at all is more jarring to me than anything.
That's how I
you
felt
know?
In the space battle, when there's finally some minority extras. They're pilots. But there's, like, one black guy and one Asian guy, and they both die right after one another.
Oh, God. I didn't notice that.
I was just like, hey, look, a black... Oh, not anymore. Hey, look, the Asian guy... Oh, he kamikaze'd into the side of the Star Destroyer? Really?
Oh, shit. I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. We just can't escape this shit, can we?
No. I mean, hey, when we watch those prequels, there's some racist-ass bullshit in those that make these... Like, so much worse than anything, like, you see, like, it's crazy. It's so bad. There's, like, a Middle Eastern guy, there's a race of racist Asians.
Ooh.
And I mean, Jar Jar is...
Oh, like, I've heard about, yeah.
Like, they say that he's, like, very stereotypically, like, a, black, but from, like, the Caribbean islands.
Oh, okay.
Like, that kind
you.
Of stereotype.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, it's kind of hard to get around it. But we'll save that, because this movie wasn't that racist.
It really wasn't. Yeah, I mean,
it
I
wasn't
really
overtly
think the Ewoks,
racist.
They really dodged a bullet with that one, because they could have gone real wrong.
So we played our special edition game, and you guessed most of the major ones here.
Mm, okay.
There's a couple things where they changed musical numbers.
Oh, that fucking jazz number?
Oh, that's not what I was talking about.
Oh,
but
that was so bad.
That is, like, if it wasn't for that Java scene, that would be the worst.
Yeah.
Why are all the worst scenes in the movies Java-related? Like, there's the Greedo thing, which is, like, he works for Java. And there's the
why
scene with
they
Java.
Why did add that, though? Like, I kind of get why he decided to go back and change... Like, oh, let's put Jabba in the scene instead of the original guy. Like,
it was a bad call, but it makes sense.
But I get it, yeah. But, like, this fucking jazz number that they just add, why? It's like fucking the third Spider-Man. You know? Like, they just put it in because somebody just smoked crack that day and was like, this is a great idea.
Well,
oh, my God.
Well, okay. I love that scene in Spider-Man 3, but that's for a different reason.
You need to go sit down.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, he made all the changes that he wanted to make to Star Wars. And he's like, well, I'll barely touch Empire. And then he's like, all right, this one's just for the fans. I'm just going to show them what 1997 CGI can do.
Oh, my God.
And I'm sure he thought he was being a nice guy with it, you know? Like that coworker who brings...
The road to hell is paved with good intentions. His intention doesn't matter.
And you know what the real shame is? The actual song in that scene, like, there's not a musical number, there's not a weird CGI dude, but
mm-hmm.
there's, like, music playing in the background. It's my favorite track from Return of the Jedi. It's this...
And they rolled over it.
It's this weird, like, disco song called Lopty Neck, and it's like, crazy. Like, you know how that, you've got that crazy cantina music?
Mm-hmm.
It's like that, but it's in Jabba's palace, so it has to be, like, crazy and more disco-y and, like, weirder. And it's a lot of fun. And they replaced it with this song. I know the name of the song, because I like Star Wars. The name of this track is Jedi Rocks.
Oh, God.
And doesn't that just tell you...
Is it Rocks with an X?
I'm not sure. I would not be surprised. I won't say it's not.
Oh, God.
But that tells you everything you need to know about how bad that is. You also called out the Bantha scene. Like, when they're heading out to the Sarlacc, you can see all those grazing sand... creatures.
Oh, yeah.
The big furry elephants.
Yeah, those were bad, too.
I actually don't think those look
They don't look
too
as bad,
bad
but... No.
They're not as bad as, like, the Dubats.
You kind of excused them while we were watching it, and I was just like,
Yeah,
no.
You weren't having it. And also, the Sarlacc didn't initially have that beak.
Oh, yeah, and I noticed that.
But, I'll give them this. Like, in the original cut of that movie, it's just a hole.
Oh.
With, like, a couple of, like, two or three tentacles. And
so
that's a little lame. Like, it's so static, you know? There's
mm-hmm.
no tension there. So I could forgive that if, you know, they keep re-releasing these and making minor changes. Make that beak not look like shit, you know?
Yeah, if it was just a blank hole with some tentacles, I think that merits changing. That makes sense.
Yeah. So those are all my changes. You didn't notice the music in this one particularly?
Not really, no.
I like some of the music in this one. They like do a kind of variation on the Imperial March, but when the Emperor's around, where it's like spookier.
I didn't notice that.
I'll send it to you because I usually pick the music that we use in the intro and the outro.
Okay.
And that's a favorite of mine. There's that. There's the song when the Emperor is like, oh yeah, I knew about all this shit, and there's a trap. Like, they play a music there that plays over, like, the space battle and, like, the trap being... It's called The Trap Has Been Sprung. That's a good one. And, like I said, I love that disco shit from Jabba's Palace, but that's not even in the version of the movie we watched. So,
That disco shit.
That disco shit. You know, quick thing with the axe. There's Jabba's Palace. What'd you think of that sequence overall? Like, it's goofy and it doesn't make a lot of sense, but did you enjoy it?
Jabba's Palace?
Yeah, rescuing Han from Jabba's palace and, like, getting him out.
Yeah, I thought... And that was actually something that I meant to bring up, was that you said that, like, Joss Whedon said that the second movie wasn't as good because it didn't have a real ending.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it actually works out really nicely to have something high stakes that you already know what's going on to start the third movie with.
Yeah.
So I really... Like, it didn't make... The way it wound up didn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still... I find it hard sometimes when you start a scene in a movie not knowing anything and they have to make you care.
Yeah.
And because you already know Han and everything, they can just cut right to the heart of the matter, and I like that much better.
I like that he's still in carbonite.
Yeah,
I like
definitely.
That he's not in a dungeon.
Yeah.
Jabba's just like, and this is a backstory expanded universe thing. This is some of the shit why people like Boba Fett. Like, behind the scenes and, like, the books and the comics, like, Boba Fett's doing all this cool shit.
Okay. Right?
And, like, one thing that's in the expanded universe is when Boba Fett showed up at Jabba's palace to sell Han Solo to him, he was like, I got something better for you than just Han Solo. I have this unique piece of art created by Darth Vader, the most infamous man in space, featuring that guy you wanted. Pay me extra. And Jabba was like, well, fuck yeah, I'll do that. That's awesome.
Wow, all right.
But that's just, like, one of the few, like, expanded universe things that I still have fondness for. But it's a good visual.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
You know.
I mean, I just think it's really, like, it's more affecting to see him being so dehumanized as to be a decoration hung on the wall.
Yeah.
Than if he were in a cell or something. Like, that's a very boring...
Yeah.
We've seen that a million times in a million movies, but some dudes who's just been frozen and hung on a wall,
yeah.
That's really harsh. It sucks.
Yeah. Much like in our tabletop RPG game we played tonight,
yes.
Where one of our friends weren't here, so I had him frozen at the beginning of the game.
Yes. Wheeled around.
And I think one other visual I remember from, not the first time I saw, but when I was a kid, that when he's being thawed out, that looks kind of cool.
Yeah, that did look cool.
Okay, so you like the Jabba Palace stuff, even though the escape makes the... when I was a kid, I thought it was a cool sequence. Mm-hmm. And then when I got a little older, I was like, this doesn't make sense. This is dumb. And now that I'm a little older than that, I'm just like, this is so stupid. I love it!
Yeah, like, that's kind of where I'm at with this. I'm like, it doesn't make sense. I don't want to look at it too hard.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, so you sent Lando in, like, months ago. Okay. That, you know, established credibility or whatever. Then you send the droids with your only weapon. Then you send Leia and Chewie. Then you go... Like, that's a terrible...
The whole thing just felt like everybody was... Like, nobody had talked to each other, and they each decided on their own to do a rescue mission. That's what it felt like, even though you know they're supposedly working together.
Yeah.
But...
And, of course, the whole time, Luke's just like, it's all under control. I feel like it's the middle... act of this that's the weakest, that really kind of drags everything else down. Like,
definitely.
The second act begins with Luke going to Dagobah and being like, hey, and, you know, that whole thing is bad. The second act is listed in my notes as Endor shit.
Yeah, like, the Endor battle just went on and on and on and on and on.
It has good moments.
It does.
When they first get there and you get the first speeder bike chase, like, you said you thought that was cool.
Yeah, the speeder bike chase was cool. We have to get to that door so that he's going to distract them by stealing his speeder bike was a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
It was a trap the whole time and they've locked us out and surprise.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
I kind of take that as the beginning of the third act.
Okay.
I
guess then I think that it really is the third act that drags
I even
out.
Don't hate the first Ewok reveal. I feel like if Wicket, you know, that first Ewok was just like a child Ewok and just like a cutesy little whatever... and the Ewoks themselves had been a little more fearsome,
mm-hmm.
like, that would have been actually a great scene.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a little too, and, like, it just drags in places.
Yeah.
As much as I do like parts, like, the whole C-3PO is the golden god thing. And we didn't talk about when 3PO is telling that story with sound effects.
Oh, that's right. That was really good.
That was fun.
That was good.
I love calling him Nooch Vader. and then the finale, I think they're doing a little bit too much at some points. Like, you're cutting back constantly between Luke and Vader and Lando in space and the indoor battle on
mm-hmm.
the ground. And, like, even that indoor ground battle is cutting back and forth between Ewoks and Han. You know,
yeah.
like, it's going all over the place. And it's not as bad as in some of the prequels. There's, you know, and here they're doing three things. And that's stretching it. In one of the prequels, they try and do four.
Mm.
And it's garbage. but, all of those bits, I think there's good bits to it. I would have trimmed down Endor a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, like, maybe even bumped up the space battle a little bit.
I would have trimmed down Endor a lot.
And I, like I said, I like the thing on the Death Star itself. I think it's cool.
I think the speeder bike chase was really good. If everything else hadn't been so long.
Yeah.
If you're going to keep everything, you got to trim all of it down a little bit. This chase could have been a lot shorter then, you know. I just felt like, overall, they got too attached to how they wanted the scene to play out individually without thinking how they strung together would work.
Yeah. Well, anything else, sweetie?
No, I can't think of anything.
So this is the original trilogy. So you liked it.
I did like it.
Which is very important to me.
Yes.
Your boyfriend, not as a podcaster.
I'm sorry that I was one of the people that shat all over, what's-his-face's acting.
Mark Hamill.
Mark Hamill's acting.
You didn't do it as much, like, people normally shit on him for 1 and 2, though, when he's whiny Luke.
Oh, well, and see, that's the thing, is that, yeah, he's whiny Luke, but I get that that's, like, just who his character is. That's different. Somebody being, like, an annoying character isn't the same thing as somebody being a bad actor.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. I don't feel like that's a fair thing to get on somebody about.
I think a lot of the things you pointed out about Mark Hamill in here, like, a lot of times I think it's maybe a choice. You know, he's supposed to be kind of stoic, and as far as some of his relationship stuff, some of that's not his fault. Like, he's got nothing to work with.
Mm.
And, you know, George Lucas is always considered to be a bad actor's director.
Yeah.
And, you know, he didn't direct this one, but he just found some yes man to do it. You know? He specifically didn't like the character guy. So I don't get the feeling that the guy who did the directing in this was probably a very good actor's director either.
He didn't like the character guy? What do you mean?
The guy who directed Empire.
Cared about care. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, like, he is credited with why the characterization in that movie is so good.
I got
in
you.
A lot of ways. But Lucas butted heads with that guy, and so we hired this new guy.
I got you.
So, but, I mean, this is Jedi. This is considered the worst one. Do you have, can you rank the three movies in order of how you like them?
Well, it's a very difficult thing, because how I liked them and how good they were aren't necessarily the same thing.
Oh, how you like them, not how good they are. Like,
yeah, I think.
I think it's
when it's something. And it's also, like, it's hard for me because Star Wars, I remember a little bit of as we watch it,
mm-hmm.
so I have almost like I have a different relationship with that one mentally than I do with the other ones.
But I think that's perfectly fair if you're ranking them and how you like them. Like,
okay.
Nostalgia is a big. I mean. These wouldn't be my favorite movies if it wasn't for nostalgia. Like,
right.
If I had seen them for the first time yesterday, they wouldn't be my favorites.
I think. I don't know. I guess I would put Empire first, Jedi second, Star Wars first.
That's third. That's my order, too.
Okay.
And I recognize that Star Wars is probably, in a lot of ways, a better movie.
Mm-hmm.
But Jedi's fun, dude.
And Star Wars, because I did see it originally, like, when I was younger,
mm-hmm.
it watching it again didn't grab me as much, because I just started to be like, oh, I remember this part, like,
mm-hmm.
several times over, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas in this, especially, I almost want to put Jedi first, because it was the one that I had the least idea what was going to happen.
Oh, really? Okay.
And I mean, I knew that Luke was Vader's son, but I didn't know Vader saves Luke.
Yeah. Did you like that? We didn't
I
talk
did like
about
that a lot. I did.
I don't like, there's one other addition. Well, there's a few scattered throughout that I can't think of, but, you know how he says, no.
Yeah.
That's an addition.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
So he didn't say anything? He just threw
him
over?
Yeah, he just picks the motherfucker up and throws him down the shaft. Which I kind of prefer. He says it twice in this. And as I was watching, I was thinking, if they had kept that first one in there and not done the second, like, more dramatic one,
mm-hmm.
I would have liked it, but...
That's the problem that I have with so many dramatic moments, is they choose to repeat the line a second time.
Yeah.
And it ruins
I've noticed
it.
That about you.
I hate it. It's so annoying.
Did it bother you as we were watching the movie, though?
No, because when it's an older movie, I just don't see it as being as cliche yet.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't bother me. Like, I just see it today in action movies and stuff, and I'm like, have we not learned that this is always going to, like, it just is so cliche that it makes me angry that we still do it at all. But if it's an older movie from, you know, 80s, 70s, I'm just going to be like, well, yeah, of course they did that, because those youngins had no idea how to make a movie. Not like that, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I'll forgive a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm glad you liked it. This was fun. I don't know. I have not gotten any feedback on these. Like, sometimes we'll do something and I'll see someone respond and be like, oh, I liked what you said, or... I thought about this thing, about this thing. I haven't heard anyone say anything about this, and I don't know if anyone's listening, but...
I think people are, like, I'm going to have to go look on Patreon, because I think people comment on there. I don't even know if anybody has, but if they did, you wouldn't have seen it, and I don't think I'd have thought to mention it to
I just went on Facebook, because sometimes people post.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
But this is the one I wanted to do. Like, the first time you were like, hey, we should do a podcast together. I was like, yeah, and it should be about Star Wars. So even if no one listened to this, I'm so glad we did it. And like, it, you know, we can watch the movies and we can talk about them, but it's not going to be like this.
Yeah.
Where I'm allowed to bring a list of things I want
to
talk about.
You have an excuse to bring a list of questions instead of just seeming like a weirdo.
Don't act like I wouldn't have done it if I didn't have the excuse. But
yeah. All right.
We are going to see Force Awakens in December, obviously.
Oh, yeah, and guys, we were talking about this yesterday, but whether you would want us to wait until after Force Awakens for me to watch the prequels, because Owen is concerned that if I see the prequels first, it will color my expectations or make me not enjoy Force Awakens as much.
Yeah, let me state my case. I mean, there's a lot of people who, when they announced they were doing another movie, were like, yeah, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, I saw those prequels, those were bullshit, and now I don't want to see another Star Wars movie again,
mm-hmm.
you know? And even I'm that way, in a certain way, where I'm just like, okay, well, maybe the original trilogy is all the Star Wars I'll ever need, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it would just be more interesting that way, because everyone going to see Force Awakens, most of those people have seen those prequels, and, you know, they have that same perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And you having a little bit of a different one would be interesting, maybe.
Well, the thing is, I'm not sure that I would have that different, because I did see one of the prequels. So
you
I
did.
Get, and I saw the worst one.
And you saw
one.
The worst one. Well,
so I'm not sure that it would really...
That's the interesting thing about the prequels, and the main reason I want to do it is because I have this theory that each prequel is the worst prequel in its own way.
Okay.
Like, the first one is the worst because it sets the tone for what the prequels will be like.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is the worst because it has the worst moments and the worst acting and the worst plot. And the third one is the worst because it has the most potential and it blows it.
Gotcha.
They're all garbage in their own very special, unique way. Like a snowflake made out of Dianoga shit.
Ooh. Ew.
That was poetic.
All right, well, I want to thank the patrons who are getting this for free because they pledged and are awesome. So thank you so much to those of you who are pledging and helping to keep the show running. I straight up don't know what I would do without you, and I mean that in the most literal, fundamental, day-to-day life sort of sense.
Yeah, you patrons are awesome.
Yeah, you're saving my ass and keeping me fed and clothed.
Clothed?
Well, I guess I haven't bought any clothes, have I, recently?
You can get some clothes.
Clothes are more expensive than food. Whatever. I'm not arguing my budget with you, okay?
Sorry.
And to those of you who actually paid to listen to the episode because you are not a patron, thank you for buying the episode. That's awesome. It means a lot. I hope that you like the prequel ones that I do as much. And you are also helping to support the show by doing that, so thank you for your support, too. And I think that'll be it until we see you again with a new episode. Bye, everybody!
Thank you. Love you.
Bye!
I guess. I didn't mean to say that. We'll be right back.